ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Can we trust the Lord in these difficult situations? And we're not going to be perfect. Let's face it. We're all growing in that grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But are we keeping our eyes focused upon Jesus? Are we really truly walking by faith? And the promised land is not speaking of death and going to heaven, because it doesn't make any sense. There's battles in the promised land. It's speaking of a life of walking in the Spirit, like I said. Remember what the Lord told Joshua as he prepared to lead the children of Israel into the promised land after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness? He said, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." In other words, Joshua, I've given you the land, but you have to walk in the land to possess it. You have to take those steps of faith. And that's the hardest part. You know, we just want it to happen right in front of us. Boom, it's done. But God says, no, you have to walk. Well, this is a difficult journey. Well, I didn't say it was going to be easy, but I'm leading you. So follow me. Trust me on this. Don't harden your hearts to what I'm telling you to do. Don't miss the opportunities that I am giving you. Well, look at verse 12. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." So here's a warning. Beware. Pay attention to what was spoken. This is kind of the application to the text. Don't follow in the footsteps of the generation that perished in the wilderness because of unbelief. Again, it's Paul speaking to believers here. I realize there's people that disagree with me on this, but to me, he has to be speaking to believers. Why? Because he calls them brethren. Unbelievers are not brethren. So here's the tough question. Can believers depart from the living God? Well, come on, Pastor Joe. You just told us that we can't lose our salvation. What are you talking about, departing from the living God? Well, remember at Kadesh Barnea, they had no water. They didn't believe God was going to provide for them. It wasn't that they didn't believe in God. It's that they didn't believe that God was going to be able to provide for them. And as I said, you know, that was their sin of unbelief. Let me give you an example. Maybe this will help. Imagine, you know, you have a child and they're going around the neighborhood complaining that you're not providing food for them to survive. You know, he knows you are. He believes in you. He just doesn't have faith that you're going to provide for him. If your child did that, do you remove him from the family? No, of course you don't. That would be ridiculous. You know, you talk to him, you may have to discipline him and correct him, but you love him. But what if your child is rebellious and hardens his heart towards you? Then you can remove him from the family. No, you don't do that. You discipline him. Why? Because you love him. You don't remove him from the family. That's what God does. You know, if God removed us because of our failure, none of us would be saved. Does God discipline us, chasten us? Yeah, sometimes he needs to. Sometimes it's just that he's talking to us. Don't do that. Don't go down that path. But when we don't listen and we start rebelling and getting into sin, God will discipline us because he loves us. He's a loving father. You know, when my kids were growing up, if I just let them do whatever they want and didn't discipline them, that would show I didn't care for them. The Bible says to train up a child. Why? I mean, think about it. You know, a little child, do you have to teach them to take things from other people? No, they just do it naturally. They want it, they take it. What do you have to do? You have to train them up. No, that's theirs. You have to share, right? That's training them up. That's what God does with us. He's training us. We're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God doesn't tear up our adoption papers. Thank God for that, right? Now, when you look at the children of Israel, you look at all the miracles that God did. I mean, think about it. I mean, the tabernacle was set up. And in the tabernacle was the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant, where God dwelt, and the Shekinah glory, the fire by night and the cloud by day. Every time they went to bed, there was the presence of God. When they woke up in the morning, there was the presence of God. And yet they didn't trust him. Look at what God has done in our lives. Can we trust him? He saved us. We're going to glory to be with him one day. And it's so easy to lose sight of all that God has done when we're in the midst of something that's really difficult. That was the children of Israel, unbelief. I mean, think about how God's provided for them all the time. I mean, the 40 years wandering in the wilderness, their shoes didn't wear out. I want those shoes. How awesome would that be? They just don't wear out 40 years. But as they come and look at the enemy, it's overwhelming. We can't do it. They hardened their hearts to what God had told them, the promises he made. Look at us. What has God told us? I will never leave you. I will not forsake you or leave you. I am with you always. Do not be afraid. Why are you, why are you cast down, O my soul, like David said? Hope in God. All you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me, I'll give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Do we trust in those promises that God has given us, or do we have this heart of unbelief in situations that we face? I don't know about you, but probably over the last several months now, this is one I've been tested on all the time. Can I believe in what he's promised? Can I obey what he's told me? And it's tough. And I think what the Lord is trying to show me, and maybe you too, stay focused on him. Just walk by faith. I don't always understand how things are going to work out. I truly don't. I wish I did. I wish I saw the whole plan, but you know, why would I trust in God then? I know what's going to happen. I don't know. So I pray and I walk by faith. And I try to stand strong. I try to exercise my faith. You know, we exercise our bodies. Some of us are crazy enough to do that. And get them in physical shape. But what are our spiritual lives? What about the faith muscle? Are we exercising it? Do we trust the Lord? You know, even our salvation was all based in faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So our faith begins as we hear the Word of God, and God opens his Word up to our hearts and our lives, and we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then we apply the Word of God to our daily lives. And it helps to strengthen us. It helps us to grow. I mean, you know, just reading and through the Bible and just finishing up in Acts. And I'm just amazed. You know, Paul's in prison in Rome, right? He's kind of under house arrest, but he's chained to a guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Guards are rotating in and out. And it says people were coming to visit Paul. He had access to people. To me, that's the craziest thing. Rome was not, you know, really kind to Christians. But they were really kind to Paul, at least in the first imprisonment. And the gospel message went forward. Our complaint would be, Lord, why you got him in prison? How's he going to be able to minister? But he tells us, look, in Philippians he wrote, look, the palace guard is getting saved. Why? Because these guards are chained to Paul. And as people are coming in and Paul is sharing the gospel with these people, guess what? The guards are hearing the gospel message. And I would bet that Paul was praying for these guards and their families. And I don't think it was a silent prayer. I think he's praying out loud. And they saw the love of Christ in Paul, and these palace guards are getting saved. Now, things were getting a little tough for Christians in Rome, and some of them were afraid. But then they saw what was going on in Paul's life, how God was working even though Paul was in prison, and it encouraged them to bring the gospel message forward. Wow. Didn't see that coming, right? No, God did. Can we trust in him in the most difficult of situations where it seems unfair, it doesn't seem like there's any hope in it, and continue serving the Lord? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, we stand strong in the faith by exercising it. But also, and here's one that people tend to negate, is being in fellowship with other believers. Why? Because, you know, like my mom always does to me, she gives me on the back of the head. Hey, wake up! What's wrong with you? We need that. I think as Christians, we do that with each other. We don't necessarily hit them on the head. Sometimes we do. But we encourage them, or we correct them, or we help them. Iron sharpens iron. You know, Paul's going to talk about it in Hebrews 10. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Yeah, we exhort each other. And I think this last part of it, and so much more as you see the day approaching, what? The day of the Lord, the return of Christ for his bride, the church. As you see that getting closer, we need each other even more. Why? Because it's going to get more intense out there. And we need each other to encourage each other to forge ahead, not to give up. That's what was going on here with these Jewish believers. They're kind of distancing themselves from each other. And Paul's saying, you need each other. Don't forsake that assembling. You got to encourage each other to stay sharp in the Lord. Look at verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Like I said, there was only two of that generation that entered the promised land, the generation that came out of Egypt. Joshua and Caleb, the rest died in the wilderness, maybe 600,000 people in those 40 years. They never experienced the rest that the Lord had for them because the rest was linked to belief. Now, was it a lack of obedience that caused them not to enter this rest? I don't know. Hebrews 3:18 seems to indicate that it was a work relationships that caused it. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Well, yeah, but that's not what we've seen in the other parts of the scriptures. And if we look at Hebrews 3:19, one verse down, we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. See, it was their unbelief that was manifested in their actions, their disobedience. Yeah, the works was an evidence of where they stood with the Lord. They didn't believe that God would give them victory. And so they didn't enter the promised land. But it was always unbelief that led to actions. And on the other end of the spectrum, doesn't belief lead to actions on our part? Absolutely. I mean, that was the whole point of me coming up here 25 years ago. It was believing that what God had promised he was going to bring to pass, and he did. So I just trusted in him and walked by faith. And that's what we need to do. I think it's really important, belief. You know, remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus the women, children, maybe 15 to 20,000 people with 5 barley crackers and 2 small pickled fish. That was all it was. And Jesus afterwards got into a boat, crosses the Sea of Galilee, and the following day the people find Jesus. And as they come to him, Jesus rebukes them. You go, well, why? They followed him. Well, because he knew their hearts. And they were only interested in being fed. They were looking for their next meal. Hey, this is good. We're here. What's up for breakfast? But Jesus was more interested in their spiritual food. And in John 6, verses 28 and 29, we're told, "Then they said to him," to Jesus, "what shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Wow. What can we do to work into a relationship with God? What kind of works? This is the $100,000 question or the $1 million question. Jesus answered and said to them, "You ready? This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Wow. Belief is the work of God. That's it. You believe in God, and then, like I said, it's out of that belief you serve him. You do those things that he's called you to do. The sin of Israel, their unbelief was serious. A.T. Pearson said, "Their unbelief was a fourfold provocation. It was an assault on God's truth and made him a liar. God promised them the land of Canaan. They didn't believe it. It was an assault upon his power, for it counted him as weak and unable to bring them in." Yeah, the enemy was strong, fortified. They are giants in the land. But they forgot about God. He created the heavens and the earth. He can handle them. It was an attack upon his immutability. They didn't say so, but their course implied that he was a changeable God, and he could not do the wonders that he once did. I mean, he brought them out of Egypt, right? Brought them through the Red Sea, did all these miracles, provided bread, manna for them, water for them in the desert. You know, it's not for like two or three people. There could have been upwards of 2 to 3 million people in the Exodus, and God provided manna from heaven. It was also an attack upon his fatherly faithfulness, as though he would encourage an expectation he had no intention of fulfilling. You know, our Heavenly Father loves us, and what he tells us he's going to bring to pass, we don't have to guess on that. And for us, we need to be careful that we don't walk in unbelief, but trust in the Lord, because his word is truth. He can bring it to pass. What he's promised us, there is no doubt he can bring to pass, and he never goes back on his word. In fact, we'll see as we get to Hebrews 11:6, Paul says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." You know, we need to have faith to believe in God for our salvation. But we also need faith in our daily lives. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. And again, you look at the things going on in this world and the lawlessness and the you know, destruction of buildings and tearing down of monuments and statues and all these things. And it's disheartening, isn't it? It breaks your heart when you see this. But again, God has told us that in the last days, men are going to be lovers of themselves. And this is all the outflow of man loving himself so much that he does whatever he wants and he doesn't care who he hurts or what he does. So God has already warned us of this. And again, I have to admit, I never thought we'd see it happen this quickly. But I know what God's word says. And I know he's still on the throne. So I can still walk by faith and I can still do the things that God has called me to do. Well, what if more persecution comes? What if they try to close churches down or stop what we're doing? Is God still on the throne? I mean, I'm not sure why we're worried. Our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, in China, in other countries, have been dealing with persecution for years. And even in their martyrdom, many have come to know the Lord because of their faith, trusting in God completely. I don't know how bad it's going to get here, but I know God's on the throne. And his word is sure. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. It's not going to win. Not at all. Unless we get so sidetracked and we're so busy doing all these other things. I'm not saying don't send me these, but I'm telling you, I get a lot of videos. And the videos are like 30 minutes long. And I just can't keep up with it. I mean, I used to keep up on prophecy a lot. I mean, I used to watch it all. I don't even have the time to do it anymore. I mean, my focus has to be is preparing the studies and taking care of the things of the church. And do I still keep on top of some prophecy? I do, but I cannot keep up on it. I mean, thank God Angie's around because she fills me in on a lot of stuff. But, you know, I just can't do it. And I know Dwight has said the same thing. He says it's happening so quickly now that he can't do it. Mary keeps up for him in Appleton. My eyes are on the Lord. The thing we have to be careful is that we don't get a hardness of heart. God, what are you doing? Where are you? What's happening here? Can we trust in him? I think we have to. You know, I don't want to stay in the wilderness. I want to walk in the promised land. I want to live a life in the Spirit and see all the things that God wants to do in me and through me. Does God still do miracles today? Absolutely he does. He does amazing things. I told you, you know, even just with the radio tower, that was a miracle in itself because the city did not want us to have that tower. They told us you can only have a tower 15 feet above your building. And so we have that little tower on the garage. It's at 28 feet at the top for the radio station. We had that for years, trying to get the city to give us a bigger tower. So then we're going to put up a steeple because we could put up a 45-foot steeple and go 15 feet above the steeple with an antenna. So we got a contractor. He came in and went to the city. And he told the city, he says, you know, I don't see any reason why they can't have a tower. And the city said, well, I can't either. Why don't you build it? Just trusting in God. We really felt at that point that God wanted us to get the tower higher. And so we just walked by faith. And we just, okay, if we can't have a tower, we'll do a steeple. And God said, no, we'll do a tower, but I just want you to trust me on this one. And that's really been the whole thing. Even before when we applied for the radio station, I couldn't run the radio station. I could barely turn on a computer. And yet the Lord really clearly said, there's this time period where the FCC is allowing us to apply for a low power FM station. I want you to do it. All right, it's going to cost us, but okay. And we did it. It was a step of faith. And we waited probably almost a whole year. And then the building where we were at, we got kicked out of. And we had to find another building. That day, we got approval from the FCC for a radio station. I'm like, Lord, we don't even have a building. What are we going to do? And God took care of it. Walking by faith. It seems hopeless, but it's never hopeless with God. He says, just keep walking. It may not happen instantaneously. Before we found this building, believe me, we looked at, oh my gosh, we looked at buildings that were covered with mold. It was unbelievable, the places we went to. I mean, it was obvious, no, there's no way we can come here. There is no way. And then we came here to this building. I think Mickey was the one who said, hey, there's not even a for sale sign yet, but it's up. Why don't you go talk with them? I'm like, hey, okay, we'll take a look. And then we thought about it. And this is where the entrance was to the fitness store. You'd come in here. The cash register was over there. We thought, well, it'd be hard to do the church this way with me up there. What if we close this door off and open that door and put the stage up here and the podium up? That'll work. Just a step of faith. In fact, we had no money at that time because we just refurbished the building we were in. We repainted it, carpeted, built a stage, bigger stage, did all that. It was beautiful. In fact, I think the carpeting in the flower gallery is the same stuff that we used, and I think the walls are still the same color that we painted them. And God said, okay, now it's time to move. And for me, I'll be honest with you, I was in the wilderness because I was like, what in the world are you doing, God? And I was upset. In fact, I told Diane, I said, you know, she asked, how's it going? I said, well, it's not real good because we just got kicked out of our building and I don't know what we're going to do. And you know, Diane, with her big smile, she goes, I wonder what God's going to do. And you know, that was the thing I needed to hear. You see, it stirred me up in love and good works. And I thought, wait a minute, I got my focus wrong here. I wonder what God is going to do, how he's going to take care of this, because this is his church, it's not mine. How awesome was that? Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's be in the promised land and trust in the Lord and all that he has for us. You know, Jesus is greater than Moses. He's greater than everything. Keep your eyes focused upon him. Don't lose sight, no matter what you're going through, and stir each other up in love and good works. That's an awesome thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. and just how comforting and wonderful it is. And so important, Lord, that we don't hold people above you, because there is nothing above you. You are Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. You have come to save us from our sins, and we're so thankful for that. And Lord, if there are any struggling here this evening, just encourage them and strengthen them in the faith. Stir them up, Lord, that they would go forth in the power of your Spirit to shine the glory of Christ in this very dark world. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.